It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Rico Bronya! Welcome into episode 527 of Rico Bronya. The New York Mets are obviously in a funk. Let's address the funk. Let's dive deep into the funk. Let's find out who we should really blame. Number one, while I would like, and we would all like, the starting pitching to go deeper into games, they don't get that outside of David Peterson. That is not their biggest issue. Is it ideal that Kodai Senga has been struggling? No. Is it ideal that Shaw Manaea had a sixth inning implosion in his last start? Absolutely not. Is it ideal that Clay Holmes is a five inning starter? No one's saying it is. But clearly the biggest issue is this offense. And to me, it's always been the biggest issue. You go back to when the funk really started in mid to late June. I remember we had that special Rico talking to Carlos Mendoza. And I said to Carlos, because he had said a day earlier, yeah, pitching's a big problem. And I'm like, dude, no, it's not. The biggest problem is the offense. You're not scoring enough runs. And that's been obvious the last few days, but it's also been obvious this entire season. So I want to do a deep dive into these struggles, into who needs to step up. Obviously, some of those names are obvious. But I wanted to go back to last year, because last year the Mets had a good offense. Good offense. You finish where they finished in the MLB rankings. You see how many runs they scored per game. It was an acceptably good offensive team. Now, I figured, and I think all of us figured, that with the addition of Juan Soto, amongst other things, this was going to be a better offense. It clearly has not been. They are scoring fewer runs per game. Their rankings are below average in terms of comparing themselves to every other team in Major League Baseball. They haven't been as good. Now, has their starting pitching been good? Absolutely. I mean, you look where they're ranked as a staff. While they're not going deep into games or as deep into games as they did a year ago, when, believe it or not, they got the fifth most innings from their starters last year. Imagine that. Fifth most. Obviously, that is not the case. Their starting pitching ERA this season is better than what it was last year. Their bullpen ERA this season is better than what it was last year. And I would certainly argue that their bullpen moving forward should be the strength of this team. So let's go position by position and see where they're not getting production. Let me start with catcher. So last year, the Mets as a group got a collective 222 batting average from their catchers. That ranked 19th in Major League Baseball. Do you know where they are this year? Francisco Alvarez, part of the time, obviously was sent down, had the injury early. Luis Torrens, a little tasting of Hayden Senger. Same exact average, 222. Except instead of being ranked 19th, they're ranked 22nd. When it comes to OPS, last year, the catchers combined for a 651 OPS, 20th in Major League Baseball. This year, it's 618, 24th. It has gone backwards. In terms of home runs, and that is obviously a counting stat, so instead of telling you how many have been hit combined, since we're about two-thirds of the way through the season, I would tell you that last year the Mets ranked 17th in home runs from catchers. This year, they're 27th. So one of the areas in which I think I remember saying this on the Rico, they can't be worse in terms of getting production from catcher. Well, I was wrong. They have been. Their production from that position is worse than it was last year, and last year sucked. Now, one area where they've been better is first base, but it's not statistically that much better than maybe we'd imagine. Last year, first baseman, mostly Pete Alonso, hit 239. This year, it's 255. So improvement, 15th in baseball this year, 19th in baseball last year. OPS, this year, it's 833, 7th. Last year, 778, 7th. So a little bit better, same in rankings. Power-wise, it's kind of the same again. Mets are second amongst home runs by first baseman. Last year, they were first. I think the big difference with Pete, and this is where stats don't tell you the story, I'll be fair, is he has been so clutch this year. And the RBIs are greatly improved. 87 RBIs from the position last year. We're almost at that point now. So there's no doubt first base has been an improvement than what we saw last year from Pete, mainly because he's been more clutch. But let's go to second base. Last year, 260 batting average, 7th. This year, 230 batting average, 17th. So whether it's a little bit of McNeil, a little bit of Beatty, a little bit of Acuna, that ain't good. That's a 30-point drop. When it comes to OPS, last year, 711, 8th. Not even that good, but hey, top 10. This year, 651, 21st. They have had a significant drop when it comes to production out of second base. Let's get to shortstop. And look, we all love Francisco Lindor, and I think we figured it was going to be tough to match a year ago when he was an MVP candidate. Batting average from shortstop, 276. This year, 247. Sixth in the league last year, 18th in the league this year. OPS, 849 a year ago. Third this year, 735, 13th. The power numbers are there. Most home runs among shortstops this year, second most last year. So the power's there, but the average has taken a big dip. The OPS has taken a big dip. And that's where you point at Lindor and say, look, they've lost production out of catcher. They've lost production out of second base. But what about you? You're the same guy. You need to be better. And that's obvious. He's had a very streaky season. Unlike last year where the bad streak was early and then he picked it up and had the MVP second half, it's kind of been the opposite this year. Now I present to you, no surprise, the biggest drop of production they've gotten from a position, and that's third base. It's why I've said it before. Many have said it before. Mark Vientos, in a lot of ways, may be their most important player in terms of changing the fortunes of this team, and B, their biggest disappointment. Last year, from the third base position, which didn't even feature him for the first 2 months as he was toiling in AAA, fourth in batting average, 261. This year, 28th in batting average, 220. 28th! That's Yankee territory. When it comes to OPS, last year, 775, third best in baseball. This year, 662, 20th in baseball. And when it comes to pop, second most home runs last year. This year, ninth most home runs. Not the worst, but clearly a major drop when it comes to average and OPS from the third base position. Now, where they've seen improvement is in the outfield. Because what I just gave you is a collective drop all the way around outside of first base. A significant drop at catcher, a significant drop at second base, a significant drop at shortstop with the same guy, and a monstrous drop at third base. Left field, all the way around, as much as Nimmo has struggled recently, they are up. They're up in batting average, 17th last year at 239, 11th this year at 259. OPS last year, 725, 14th. This year, 777, 8th. And the fifth most home runs from left field. So a clean sweep in terms of production in left field. Let me get to center field because that's another area where it is third base-esque in terms of the drop. And that's amazing because last year, we're talking about Harrison Bader and Tyrone Taylor. It's not like the Mets had Willie Mays in center field. In center field, they were 19th in batting average, 18th in OPS, 14th in home runs. You want to know where they are this year? 29th in batting average, 209. 209! 29th! There are 30 teams in baseball, in case you forgot. When it comes to OPS, 29th, 590, 590. And when it comes to home runs, four home runs from center field, 28th in baseball. So their production, and last year wasn't good, like 19th, 18th, and 14th, you know, you could actually argue is right around average, which is surprising that it was actually as good when it comes to ranks. But this year, almost dead last. Now, I hope Cedric Mullins changes that. So far, we haven't seen it. Haven't seen that change. But a major drop from a position that was a problem a year ago. Right field, they've gotten better. But I'm going to give you these numbers. It's not as much better as you would have hoped. So last year, they got the 21st best batting average from right field, 228. This year, it's 8th best at 255. Certainly a jump. I don't know if it's a big enough jump. When it comes to OPS, this one's got to blow your mind. It's up, but is it up enough? 709 OPS, 18th best, 852 fifth best. It's Juan Soto. I think we figured even higher than that. And then when it comes to home runs, they got the 26th most home runs. This year, it's the third most home runs. They've already hit significantly more home runs from right field this year than they did last year. So major jump from mostly Starling Marte to Juan Soto. DH, they've also seen a jump. Team batting average last year at DH, 228, 21st. This year, 255, 8th. OPS, 727, 15th. This year, 763, 12th. So jump from DH, jump from right field, jump from left field, jump from first base. the rest of it has not been just going backwards. It's been significantly bad. And that's where I think, as I try to analyze, all right, how did I get it wrong? How did we get it wrong in terms of thinking this offense was going to be better than this? And really what I think it comes down to was that we looked at center field catcher and said, it can't be worse. Just can't be. And it actually has. The production from center field and the production from catcher has stunningly been worse than we expected. And I think that is very tough to imagine. The drop from Lindor, I can't say it's a monstrous surprise. He had an MVP year last year. But the biggest one is third base. Like, I didn't expect Mark Vientos to match his numbers last year. I remember talking about that at the beginning of this season. But it has been such a free fall from Mark Vientos that it has really killed them. And then you just factor in, and I don't think these numbers even tell the story, but you factor in, they haven't been clutch. Like, if you look at how many times they get on base, if you look at the home runs they've hit, if you look at OPS, they should be better than this. They should still shouldn't be a top five offense. Like, those numbers don't necessarily back that up, but it backs up that they should be better. And that's where the clutch stats have really killed them. Now, Benjamin Weiss contributes greatly to this because Benjamin sent an email at thericob@gmail.com writing, just because I was curious, I wanted to analyze the data from Juan Soto's career. Okay. I did a little research on Soto's at-bats, particularly comparing situations with runners on base. Besides the obvious, he's been better solo. He seems to particularly struggle with a runner on first base and then gives a deep statistical breakdown on Juan Soto's numbers when there is a guy on first base. His batting average with a guy on first is 173 with a 602 OPS. I mean, that is unbelievable. When there is nobody on base this season, Juan Soto is hitting 305 with a 1,000 OPS. With runners in scoring position, 175. Runners in scoring position with one man on base, 116 with a 446 OPS. And, like, I think we all seen this, but it's like, why? And here's the best part. Ben also supplies his career. So, for example, in 2025, with nobody on base, he's hitting 305 with a 1,038 OPS. In his career, it's 277 with a 937 OPS, which means a plus 28-point improvement when it comes to batting average and an OPS improvement of 100 points. With a runner on first base in his major league career, 285, 930 OPS. This year, 158, 557 OPS. With runners in scoring position, 288 in his career, 1,111 OPS. Now, you see these numbers, and we know it because we've watched them all year, and it's fair to say, now tell me why. Why has Juan Soto been so bad with guys on base? And it's easy to say, well, it's the contract. It's easy to pull a Mendy and say, well, it's bad luck. I don't know the answer. I wish I could supply that. I wish I could supply it, not just for this podcast, but for Juan Soto to adjust and figure it out. But that's one of those things, believe it or not, that gives me hope. Like, the drop that we gave from positions scares me because there's no evidence or reason to believe that Francisco Alvarez is just going to get hot. There's no reason to believe that. Why? What's his career tell you? Mark Vientos has had such a mixed bag of his career. What tells you he's going to get hot? So for me to sit here and tell you, don't worry about Vientos, don't worry about Alvarez, and even don't worry about center field, considering Cedric Mullins' production is better than what center field has given the Mets this season, but overall still hasn't been great, I would be just hoping those guys are better. What gives you legitimate hope, in my opinion, is Juan Soto. He's not this guy. His career tells you he's not this guy. And any argument you want to come up with, well, he's fat and he doesn't care, which I think is BS, by the way. He's fat and he doesn't care. Well, then explain to me why with nobody on base, he's great. So he's fat when there's guys on base, but when there's nobody on base, he's great. The pressure thing, like, I can't even buy the pressure thing. He's been a clutch player his entire career. All of a sudden now, because of $765 million he can't hit, I don't buy it. So I kind of lean towards that's baseball. I lean towards he'll get out of it. Now, sometimes guys don't get out of it in a season, as we saw with Carlos Beltran in his first year with the Mets. So maybe this is something where in 26, 27, 28, he's tearing it up, which doesn't help us now. But what gives me hope about this offense, at least not being as bad as it's been, are the better players on this team not being this bad. The center field, the third base, that's tough to give you confidence. But I think the rest of it, the big players on this team, gives you the confidence they're going to turn it around. That's how I view it. And that's why, as I sit here, hoping the season turns around, hoping that this isn't a complete disaster that we're comparing to 07 and 08, that I have hope it will change. But the starting pitching, which has gotten such a beating, I feel better about. And I'll tell you why I feel better about the starting pitching, despite nobody going deep into a game besides David Peterson. Number one, I have reason to believe that Kodai Senga is going to be fine. I have a reason to believe it because that's what his career has shown us. Now, can I rely on him every 5 days? No, he needs extra days. Is there a chance he's going to go down with an injury? Absolutely. But for the most part, his career has shown us that when he pitches, he's effective. Sean Manaea, like, he's been really good since he's come back from the IL, sans the one inning in his last start. So I feel good about Manaea. I feel good about Senga. I feel good about Peterson. And I also think that despite a 16-game stretch the Mets have coming up, where it's really tough to overwork your bullpen because you don't have an off day, their bullpen is so deep that while it's not always going to be perfect, like we saw with Tyler Rogers the other day, it is the strength of this team. It kind of reminds me of 06. Now, I shudder to say 2006 because before this season started, and Dan, who's a great contributor to the Rico, has brought this up in emails over and over again. He says, remember when you guys compared this offense to 06? Embarrassing. It's embarrassing that we did that because this offense ain't 2006. 2006 is probably the best Mets offense they've ever had, despite the way it ended against Jeff Suppan. And we're anointing this offense? How about you go out and do it, which they haven't done. But where the 06 comp works is no length from your starting pitchers, which eventually was the case once guys were hurt come postseason time, and a great bullpen. Chad Bradford and Pedro Feliciano and even Guillermo Mota to the end, Billy Wagner, Aaron Heilman. Like, that was a good bullpen. And I'd argue this bullpen is better. So while the starting pitching isn't great necessarily, that's not my biggest worry. It really isn't. And I also believe that the Sproat and the McLain holdup is probably more to do with waiting for the 16-game stretch where they have no off days and probably manipulating the whole rookie status. They can maintain rookie status. Here's how I understand the rule. With less than 45 days of service time on the major league roster, which I guess you could eclipse that next week, but also throwing less than 50 innings. Well, let's do some math. If you call one of these guys up or both of these guys up, let's say next week, which would give you about 40 games left in the season, you're probably talking about 7 starts. How do you maintain remaining under 50 innings in 7 starts? Well, pretty easy. Don't go 7 innings every start. So that makes it a lock. If you're at 10 starts, there's a good chance you're going to get to 50 innings. If you're at 8 starts, there's more of a chance because all you got to do is go 6 2/3, which I shouldn't say all you have to do. That seems impossible with this team. So I do think, without the Mets ever admitting it, that maybe maintaining rookie status has something to do with the holdup. Or, more likely, they are waiting for this stretch of games where they play every day. Because it's not just Kodai Senga who benefits from extra rest. We've seen it from everybody. David Peterson benefits, Clay Holmes benefits, Frankie Montas benefits from not pitching. And these kids will benefit from getting extra days. I'll tell you what's also frustrating me. Not frustrating, that's probably not the right word. Intriguing me in a way that allows me to say, why? We are all talking about Nolan McLain. He deserves to be here. We're all talking about Brandon Sproat. He deserves to be here. And I think they will be here soon. But the talk of the minor leagues is Jonah Tom. And there's a part of me intrigued by seeing him too. Now, what role would it be? I think with Tong, it would be out of the bullpen just to kind of wet his whistle on the major league level. But the Met bullpen right now is so deep, there's no room for him. But I think one way to attack this, and I don't think it'll be Jonah Tong. Obviously, with him still being in Double A, they want to give him more time to marinate and get ready. But one way you could approach this is have one of these kids up here as the cleanup guy for Montas or Holmes when they only go three or four innings. You know, we heard Carlos Mendoza talk about Montas being the opener or being the bulk guy for an opener on Saturday's game against Milwaukee. Well, how about you start Frankie Montas, and after three good innings, you pull his ass out and you go to Brandon Sproat, or vice versa. Now, that last game before the All-Star break, I know the Mets lost and it was heartbreaking. They lost because their offense. Let's just keep that in mind, okay? Let's not forget. They didn't lose because Sean Manaea gave up a game-winning hit, though they sort of did. They lost because their offense was LD. And you know what I mean. I like the tag team effort. If you've got starters that can't go deep into games, having two starters tag team a game makes sense. Now, it's difficult roster-wise. I understand that. But there's also a way to manipulate this. So I am curious to see that happen. All right, a couple of more thoughts about this lineup. Lineup changes. We saw Mendoza go back to the original lineup, the one that started the season of Lindor, Soto, and Alonso. It obviously did nothing in Wednesday's embarrassment against the Guardians. That is still, in my opinion, the preferred lineup. I have said that from the beginning, that that's what I would do. Number two, in a fantasy world, and it is a and I'm mad at Hoffman. I don't know if Pete could talk right now. I'm mad at Hoffman because I can't do it. But when a caller called up Sal, and here's the thing. The only reason this bothers me is because I respect Sal. I like Sal. He's a good Met fan. All right. If this was Big Mac, I wouldn't care. I'm just kidding, Big Mac. But a caller called up and said, Sal, the obvious thing this team should do is lead off Juan Soto, which I've been screaming about for a while. I've given up screaming about it because it's not going to happen. I said it to Carlos Mendoza. It's not going to happen. But I defy anybody to tell me why it doesn't make sense. And Sal dismissed it and said it's stupid. You don't have to agree with it, but it is not stupid. The guy blows with guys on base. He's a walk machine. He's now stealing bases. It takes some pressure off of him. What is there is no negative to leading off Juan Soto. I don't see it. And don't tell me how much money he makes. The Dodgers lead off Ohtani. So I know it's not going to happen. So yes, I could spend a few minutes on the Rico explaining why it should happen, bitching about it. It feels like Mendy won't do it. But where were you, Hoff, to stand up for the Juan Soto should lead off crowd? Very disappointing.
Well, I wanted Sal to shine for a moment. I didn't want to take over. So I wanted to let Sal shine and have his moment. So that's why I did. Listen, I'll take whatever at this point. I mean, you've been on that for a while. They're not going to move Pete to two. I mean, that would be the ideal, right? Soto one, Pete two, Lindor three. I mean, at this point in time, whatever it takes to shuffle this up, because there is a malaise offensively, and I'm not really sure why. I heard all the numbers you just gave, but really, there's something else going on that they're just not motivated to focus as much as normal.
I don't think it's motivation. I think it's easy when an offense is struggling to say they don't care, they're not motivated. I don't think it's any of that. It's just a struggle. You know, Pete Alonso made this comment when we had him on a few weeks ago, because at the end of the interview, I busted his balls a little bit and said, can you hit a couple of home runs? You're in a home run slump. Yeah. And he said something very simple, and it's so true. He's like, baseball's hard. Okay? Hit that slider that looks like it's a strike and die. It's a hard sport, and I know it is, because God knows I can't do it. I can't hit a ball. So I think sometimes, as much as we complain about it, and I'm not going to stop complaining about it, because look, we're fans. We expect better results. Steve Cohen expects better results. But sometimes the answer is as simple as baseball's hard and guys are slumping more than they're not motivated. I think they're motivated. I just think they are struggling as a unit right now.
Do you believe in the get rid of Eric Chavez to change things up?
I have no problem with it. I mean, if they announced that, now they didn't during the off day, but if they announced that, I'd say, sure, why not? You got to try something to get this offense going. The problem is, I remember when they fired Chili Davis back in 2021, the whole Donnie Diesel thing, and they brought in Hugh Quagglebaum. It mostly doesn't do anything. So I'm not going to argue with people that they shouldn't, because I understand, hey, you got to try something, but I don't necessarily think it's going to work magic. I'm also not against changing the lineup. We've received a few emails saying you got to keep with the same lineup. Look, Mendy has kept with the same lineup a lot, but I think if he's going to change it, you do have to do something really different. And the thing that makes the most sense is leading off Soto. Like, if you believe the pressure is getting to him, I think leading off takes the pressure off. Like, bro, just get on base. And he does a really good job of doing that. Go steal some bases. He's done a really good job of doing that, a career high. Just go do your thing. So I do it, and it doesn't seem like they're open to it, but that would be the change I would make. I'd lead off Juan Soto, whether it's Lindor or Alonso batting second. That's fine. I'm not going to scream about either, but I like those three guys batting in the first inning. I've said that all year long. So I didn't like Marte leading off or Nimmo leading off. Like, to me, it's those three guys, and shuffling those three up, I think, make a lot of sense. But it's going to be a test with the Milwaukee Brewers, and it's always a test with the Atlanta Braves because they're a pain in the ass. One advantage the Mets have in this weekend series is that they should have a fresh bullpen that they could unleash because they have an off day on Monday. But they got to get it going because it's getting scary right now. Thankfully, the Pittsburgh Pirates took care of business against the Reds on a Thursday night so that their lead for that last playoff spot is four games. But it's getting dicey. They got to string some wins together.
Yeah, thanks to Paul Skeens, future Met, maybe, and maybe that's a possibility. Listen, really quickly before you run, I have a serious question for you. Milwaukee, we have three games in Milwaukee, return for Pete Alonso, first time he's back since his home run in the wild card. Do you want Pete Alonso to tie or break the record in Milwaukee, or do you want to save it for?
No, I want him to break the record. Listen, this is about winning more than records. It would be cool to be in the building. It'd be cool for us to experience it. Right now, the Mets got to win, and they are a better team when Pete Alonso hits home runs. So my selfishness, our selfishness needs to be thrown out the window. First inning against the Brewers, against Brandon Woodruff, bang. Just get it done. Tie the record, break the record, and get some victories. Subscribe to the Rico Brugna if you haven't. Download it wherever you download your podcast. We'll give you instant reactions after some games and always recaps after each series. Thank you very much for listening to another edition of Rico Brugna.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Brugna podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.